Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
Today, we have the absolute pleasure with hanging out with JLD, or John Lee Dumas. He is the host of the podcast called Entrepreneurs on Fire. So, JLD, inspiration for the podcast, has created a tool that actually helped me set some goals, do, 10-day sprints of the goals and review the goal and adjust it and then do another 10-day sprint. You do that 10 times and that's your 100 days. And the journal just helps you think about what did you achieve today, what are you going to do tomorrow? And it's a great way to set your mind up in the morning and set your night, your mindset before you go to bed. So it was an absolute pleasure chatting to JLD. And so basically, he's created such a big network. His audience is known as the Fire Nation, and he's very passionate about giving everyone the best experience. And that's why he's created a physical journal, because he kept getting entrepreneurs asking him that they've got all these ideas, and he just wanted to help more people achieve greatness. He did it by a Kickstarter campaign. It was super successful. They built community schools in underdeveloped countries. It's just an amazing story. So check it out. It's an absolute pleasure to interview JLD, Razor Community, and Fire Nation. Are you ready to sharpen your mind? Let's meet JLD. JLD, welcome to the Razor Sharp Show. How you been?
Wow, I love alliterations. The Razor Race Show. That's what I want to call it. What's going on, Ray?
Excellent. That was my nickname, Razor Ray. So
shut up.
You got it straight away. There you go. Perfect. You're already in sync. JLD, how did you make your first dollar?
Wow. So that's going back to 2012. If we're talking EO Fire and entrepreneurial, or
anything,
like when I mowed lawns at 6 years old. Like,
you can go to that story if you like.
Okay. Well, I used to mow lawns when I was 6 years old, and my neighbor would pay me $15 for like what took about 3 hours of work. So, I was making about $5.25 an hour.
Excellent, excellent. And is that when you knew that you were wired up to be in business and to be an entrepreneur? Or?
No, I wasn't an entrepreneur for the first 32 years of my life. I hated every minute of that.
Wow.
I was anti-entrepreneur. That's why I actually love sharing the message that people are born entrepreneurs, people are born not entrepreneurs, and the people that are not born entrepreneurs can evolve into being entrepreneurs, sometimes slowly over years, sometimes in the snap of the fingers. And for me, it was 32 years. Boom, snap of the finger, I became an entrepreneur. And that didn't mean I became a successful entrepreneur. I just became, mentally became an entrepreneur. And that was fun. So no, there's, to me, absolutely born entrepreneurs. That doesn't mean if you're not one of those silly people, you can't become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, love that. Razor community, really take that on board, that, it is something that if you get around the right people and the right mindset, that aha moment can happen where it just clicks and falls into place. So great words of wisdom from JLD.
What does the word focus mean to you?
So the word focus is an acronym that I've probably said between 300 to 500 times on my show over the past 4 years. And then I often quiz my guests on it when they claim to be big time listeners of EO Fire. And that's follow one course until success. Because to me, if you can focus, if you can cut out distraction, if you can just follow that one course until you're successful, guess what? You win. You've crushed it. You've accomplished that goal. Now it's time to focus on thing number two, and then three, and then four. And that's how I live my life. Just one small focus at a time. So for instance, right now, you are my 15th of 15 interviews today. Wow. I do one day a month. I do 15 back-to-back interviews. And guess what? My sole focus for the next 25 minutes is you, is this interview, is us chatting, and that's why it's going to be great.
So let's dive into that one course element of focus. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of effective goal setting?
So the importance of effective goal setting is everything. And by everything, I can just say I look back at the over now 1,500 successful entrepreneurs that I've interviewed, and the main commonality that every single one of them have is the ability to set and accomplish goals. And so many of my listeners of Fire Nation, whom I love dearly, they struggle with that very thing. They struggle setting and accomplishing goals. So I created the Freedom Journal for them, the solution, the bridge to that gap, to guide people in setting a SMART goal, which, Matt, is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time bound, and then accomplishing that one goal in 100 days through daily tasks, nightly recaps, 10-day sprints, 25-day quarterly reviews, so that by day 100, you will accomplish that number one goal. Because again, there are very few commonalities with those at the top. There are commonalities, but they're few. There's hard work, there's dedication, there's perseverance, and there's setting and accomplishing goals. So if you want to make your way in this world and become one of those successful entrepreneurs, you have to learn the importance of goal setting and how to do it the right way.
And is there a way to set up our days so, you know, they are more focused, productive, and working towards our goal?
There's a lot of methods that I use very effectively that I'd love to chat a little bit about. The biggest one probably for me is the Pomodoro method. And you can Google Pomodoro method and you can learn a little bit more about it. But essentially, it's doing sprints and rests. And I like to call it focus time and refresh time. That's just kind of how I refer to them as. So for me, like, I've realized that if I want to accomplish something and I want to focus on it, I have to have an end time in mind. I can't just sit down and focus on something not knowing when I'm going to give myself and my brain a break. And I've found and seen what works for me is 42 minutes of focus time with an 18 minutes forced refresh time. And I do say forced because sometimes we want to work through that 42 minutes.
That's right.
And I get it. You're on a roll XYZ. That's why you have to find the right time for you. For some people, it might be 30 and 15. For some people, it might be 60 and 20. I don't know. You have to play around with it. But I know that if I force myself to stop at 42 minutes to refresh, then I'll be able to come back for another session. But if I push through that too far, then I'm going to burn out and I might not have another good session the rest of the day. So I love the Pomodoro method. I'm a big believer in Parkinson's Law, which is tasks will expand to the time allotted. I only want to allot the amount of time needed to accomplish a goal, and I know that I'm going to get so much more done during that time than I otherwise would.
What is the smallest thing that you changed in your business that had the biggest positive outcome?
Talking to my audience one-on-one. A lot of people just only go for things that scale. They're just like, if I can't leverage this, if I can't scale this, like, I'm just not going to do it. Like, and to me, if you want to get to a point where you're actually scaling on a meaningful level, if you're actually leveraging in a real valuable way, it's going to come because of those one-on-one conversations that you've had. So always for me, the things that I've done that have been most successful, Podcasters Paradise, the Freedom Journal, Webinar on Fire, even EO Fire itself, came from me having one-on-one conversations with real people, asking them about their struggles, their obstacles or challenges, and then figuring out ways to create the solution for them.
Yeah. I love that because it's about getting that feedback loop very early on and creating a product that people actually want to buy, not selling something that you think people want to buy. I love that. Two questions in and you've blown my mind. Excellent. If someone wants to write a book about you, what would the title be?
Niche, Please.
Wow.
Now, let me actually pronounce that differently. Niche, Please.
No. It was right the first time.
Well, the only reason why I said the second way is because, you know, we have a phrase in the States. I'm not sure how familiar you are with it in Australia, but, you know, we're just like, bitch, please. So, like, that's like a very common phrase. So, like, because of that, I would say niche, please, just because it's a little more of a rhyme. I'm a huge proponent of not being broad, of not just kind of having this vague, overarching, like, just idea and then just trying to serve the masses. Because I do believe if you try to serve everybody, you serve nobody. Like, if you really try to resonate with all, you're going to resonate with none. You're going to get lost in that just landmine of noise that's out there. You know, everybody's screaming at the top of their lungs in this world. You want to just be another screaming voice that's getting drowning out? Do you want to be that person that goes 1 mile wide and then just 1 inch deep in all these areas, making
by the way, no impressions because you're only going 1 inch deep. What about that person that just says, you know what, I'm going to do one laser focus and go 1 mile deep in that 1 inch wide little chasm that I'm making. I'm going to niche until it hurts, and I'm going to serve that little market down there. That's what I'm going to do. So that's what my book would be called. It'd be called Niche Please, though I say niche.
Yeah, no, love that. I just want to say, niche bitches. got it. I love that. We do say that saying as well.
You do? You say that? You say, Australia. Bitch, please.
Yeah. Bitch, please. Get out of my way. What? Obviously, you get to meet a lot of entrepreneurs. Is there a common trait that you see that sets them up to be successful?
So I've interviewed over 14 hundo peeps so far, and all the peeps on my show, successful, inspiring, rock stars in their own right. And I'm not just talking like 6-7 figure earners. I'm talking people sometimes that are making 4 or 5K a month, but they're doing what they love and they're serving people and they're doing it, you know, from home. They're able to spend time with their family because they want to do that. So, I mean, like, there's varying levels of success, but all of them are successful in their own right. And the commonality that I really see with all of them is they know most of them intimately how to set and accomplish goals. Where on the flip side, people that are struggling in this world don't know how to set and accomplish goals. And that was really my big inspiration for the Freedom Journal, because I said, man, how can I bridge that gap? Like, how can I create the solution for people who don't know how to set and accomplish goals, but they really should be and need to be? And so that's where I took a year. I researched goals and aspirations and all these things. And the finished result was this stunning hardcover journal called The Freedom Journal. And oh my God, if you got that shipped out to Australia, my friend, you are committed, because that is not cheap shipping.
No, that's right.
Breaks my heart because there's so many people in Australia. And even worse, you go for you guys, by the way, is Canada. Like, Canada's like right there. And yet they're paying like as much as you guys pay in shipping. It's ridiculous. The UK, like, you know, I just want this journal to get into the hands of as many people as possible. And it's so cheap to ship to all 48, you know, continental United States. It's like literally $3.
Wow. I did get ripped off.
Well, you didn't get ripped off.
No, I didn't.
You know, it's unfortunately your import taxes and this and that. And it's just so painful. I just wish that we could figure the international shipping thing out.
That's okay. You can send me a whole bunch of them and I'll do the distribution for you. But I want to just say that the distribution, the Freedom Journal was what helped me launch the podcast.
So really?
That was my goal, that I wanted to launch the podcast in 90 days because I'd been talking about it for months. And then as soon as I started committing to it, I got accountability partners and just a lot of that mindset about goal setting, following through, reading it daily, morning, night. I want to say shit just started happening. Yeah. The right
shit
people came into my life.
Bro.
Yeah. Love it.
You'd be like,
love
bitch,
it.
Please.
Yeah, huh?
Bitch. So, you know, the Freedom Journal was just like, I'm going to create that solution. I'm going to show people how to accomplish their number one goal in 100 days. And that is the Freedom Journal. You know, it teaches you how to set a SMART goal. So that's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time bound. And then it guides you on how to accomplish that goal in 100 days. And as you know, there's daily tasks. There's nightly recaps. Yep. We do 10-day sprints. So every 10 days, you're accomplishing a micro goal, getting you closer to your 100-day goal, you know, building up the momentum, getting excited about the successes you're having. Every 25 days, you're doing a quarterly review, looking back, seeing what worked and amplifying that, seeing what does not work and fixing that, pivoting, adjusting. So that, guess what? By day 100, you will accomplish that number one goal, period.
It happened before 100, just may I add. And,
love
you know,
that
25, that quarter check-in, that's where the accountability. It's like I was didn't want to be accountable to myself. So I partnered with someone and said, let me help me get your goal. You help me get my goal. And it was a win-win. So
that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So you have a human, which is fallible. You know, we as humans, we make mistakes and we err. So you don't want to just count on another human because, again, that's what we do. And that's is part of being a human being. Like we get distracted, we lose focus, et cetera. But when you combine holding yourself accountable to another human with, you know, an object that is not a human, that's just a physical product that's there on your desk staring at you saying, you didn't write in me yet today. Yep. Like, and I'm gold shining, glaring in your face. When you combine those two, you do have those ingredients for success.
Perfect, perfect. Love that. Absolutely. And so, JLD, how do you stay sharp?
I stay sharp by surrounding myself with the right people. You know, I end every one of my EO Fire episodes by saying, you know, like, hey, you've been hanging out with Razor Ray and JLD today, so keep up the heat. Because you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And like, number one, I want my listeners, Fire Nation, to know that they've just been hanging out with us and we're now two of their five people today. So now go find three other awesome people and your average is going to be awesome. So that's a great start to your day. And for me, it's who I surround myself with. So I'm really big into being parts of masterminds, of really staying in touch with people that I know, like, and trust, going to conferences. All these things to surround myself with the right people, that helps me stay sharp. That helps me really understand, you know, like, what's coming next, staying cutting edge, all of these things. Like, that helps me just really stay on the focus path.
And what do you think holds people back from being their most productive in a, you know, normal working day?
It's distractions. You know, we are filled in with a world of distractions. Your cell phone's beeping, it's vibrating, your computer has desktop notifications, you have people stopping by your desk, you know, you have everything happening all around you. You have, you know, the funniest videos in the world at your fingertips at YouTube. You have yesterday's highlights at ESPN.com. I mean, there's every reason not to do real and meaningful work. Because guess what? Real and meaningful work takes focus. Focus is energy and bandwidth consuming. It's tiring. It's like, do I really want to sit down and do 20 push-ups right now? No, because, you know, I'm going to strain to do that and it's going to be tough. But guess what? I know that at the end of it, I've challenged my muscles. I've broke down some old muscles. I've built up some new ones. And that's good. And that's what you do when you focus on that manner. You're really training and straining your brain to get better, to become more productive. And with distractions, it's so easy not to. It's so easy to say, you know, I'll start that thing, you know, just after, you know, I check out yesterday's highlights, you know, from the football match. And instead, you can just say, hey, listen, I'm going to have 18 minutes of refresh time to do whatever I want. But first, I have 42 minutes of pure focus and nothing's going to get in my way until that's done.
Excellent. Let me go a little bit deeper with that. Do you have to be always talking about business when you're around these people, or is it just being around those people, the energy, the conversations?
The latter. So there's a lot of times where we don't talk at all about business, but we talk about things that in a lot of ways are more important than business. The fact that we focus on sleep, like, I am committed to getting at least 8 hours of sleep every single night. That's just like a non-negotiable. The foods that we put into our body, you know, like, we're not just going to eat crap. Like, we're actually going to really focus on the nutrition and then exercise, like, make sure that we're moving every single day and staying. And we, you know, and we compare, like, well, what's working for you food-wise and exercise-wise, and how are you sleeping recently? Like, we talk about these things as well, because those are three key components where if you're going to have long-term success as an entrepreneur, you got to be hitting those three points that, you know, aren't business at all, but it's life, and that's important.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I think as starting entrepreneurs, a lot of times the advice is to go and, you know, hustle hard and get around other entrepreneurs. And sometimes that might not be the mastermind group you need to be around, because that might not be what's lacking in your life. So go, you know, go a little bit wider and find out. So I love that, Razor community, to take that on board, re-listen to that point, because I think it's super, super important. JLD, what is a website or an app that you need to use daily to survive?
Oh, that would definitely be Schedule Once, which is my schedule that I use to book all of my interviews for my show, for other shows, for conversations, for anything. It's all just about, hey, like, find a time on my calendar that works. There's way just, there's no, none of that back and back, you know, back and forth. There's no signals are crossed, no time zone issues. Like, you know, we knew that our time today was at 4:30 p.m. my time. And I don't know, what is it, 6 a.m. your time?
Yeah, 6:30 a.m.
6:30 your time. And, you know, that less time zone, that's a huge time zone difference. But with a tool like Schedule Once, you can't make a mistake.
Yeah, love that. So you get organized and let tools manage your life, so you're not wasting time doing the nitty-gritty of emails back and forth, because that is the biggest time waster in most people's business, where they feel like they're being productive, quote unquote. Why did you decide to start a podcast?
So I loved the medium of podcasting as a consumer. Like, I listened to podcasts. I understood podcasts. Like, the light bulb went off the first time I heard a podcast because I got it. I understood why it was awesome because it was free, because it was targeted, because it was on-demand content. And I loved that. And for all those reasons, I hated the radio because it was none of those things. I mean, it was free, you know, but that was it. And you had to pay for your quote-unquote freedom by commercials every 2 minutes. So, like, you know, I just fell in love with the podcasting medium. I got it as a consumer. And then I saw the void that existed in the marketplace, which was, well, where's that 7 day a week podcast? Like, where's that daily interview with a successful entrepreneur? Like, I would listen to that show. So I went to find it. It didn't exist. So I took a little page out of Gandhi's book and I said, why not be the change you wish to see in the world? That was what I wished to see in the world. So boom, I went off for it. I did it. I was bad. I was not experienced. I was not smooth. I was a bad host, a bad interviewer, a bad broad. You fill in the blank. I was bad, but I was passionate about it. I was committed to it. I got a little bit better every single time I did it. And, you know, here we are, you know, 1400 interviews later for my show, hundreds and hundreds of interviews on other shows. Like, you know, here I am.
And I love that giving yourself permission to refresh. I think that's a really important tip. So it's not, all guns blazing, you know, for 24 hours a day and then, you know, you suffer at the end of that.
You'll get burnt out.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, how do you deal with, during that time of focus, and you said for yourself it's 42 minutes and for others listening it might be different to that. How do you deal with life's distractions during that time and like how do you stay on track?
There are no distractions during that time. Everything's off. You know, my phone's on airplane mode. I have no notifications on my computer of any kind. I never have. I use an app called Stay Focused, which is killer. You can get it as a Chrome extension. And it literally will not let you go to any website besides like ones that you type in. So like you can't go to Facebook. You can't go to ESPN. You can only go to websites that you allow or none. Because if you're like writing a book and you're using, you know, Microsoft Word, then you shouldn't. Then you can just block off. And again, for 42 minutes or however long you want, you literally cannot get on the computer. And you get, I mean, this is, it's like, it's real. Like you can restart your computer and like, you're still not going to get on for 42 minutes. So
Oh, that's so good.
It's a real app. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. And you must get so many offers and opportunities come your way. And how do you know to say yes or no when you might have allocated, you know, some time to focus on some things and some refresh time and something pops up. How do you assess that?
So it's actually easy if you reframe it in this way. If you reframe every opportunity that comes to you, if you say, listen, if I say yes to this, I'm saying no to everything else that I could potentially be doing during this time. So if you really identify and reframe every single opportunity like that, you're going to think twice about those opportunities. You're going to say, you know what? This is an opportunity that's worth saying no to everything else. And then you know what? You take that opportunity. But at the same time, you might be like, wow, like, you know, if I say yes to this opportunity, I'm not going to be able to take that 42-minute session and write a chapter of my book, you know, that I have a timeline on right now to get done by the end of the year. So you really get clear on your goals, on what's important, and you stick to it.
Obviously, the biggest thing with podcasting is I feel like it needs to be a passion project because you won't necessarily monetize it really quickly. And obviously, everyone aspires to the way that you've monetized your podcast and so forth. Is it? Would you say you've monetized the podcast or you've monetized the Fire Nation, the tribe, or the group that you've got?
I think the major thing that podcasters and really content creators in general have to focus on is this. Really dial in on that free, valuable, and consistent content that you're going to provide. Like really have a niche for it. Like really make sure that you're delivering that content to a very focused, specific topic community and be consistent about it. Again, it's free, it's valuable, it's consistent. And go into it for the marathon. And when you go into it for the marathon, you're going to build an audience around that content. Then you can turn to that audience and say, listen, now I have an audience of a couple hundred, a couple thousand people, whatever it might be. Go to them, ask them, what are you struggling with? And then listen to them. And they'll tell you their pain points or obstacles or challenges or struggles. you can take that information, you can listen, and then you can say, hey, maybe I want to provide a solution with this problem. And you turn to them and you say, hey, if I provided a solution, you know, for this problem, like, what would that be worth to you? And when they're like, oh, that would be of great value, we'll say, well, listen, I'm going to create this. It's going to be $500, but I need proof of concept from 10 people that are going to drop $250 right now for something that doesn't exist. But when it does exist, it's going to be $500 for everybody, but you're going to get it for half price right now. Prove that concept, get real dollars in the door, because people only vote with their wallet. Then when you get that proof of concept, then drive forward, create that amazing product. And then, of course, give it to those people for what they initially paid for, just that $250, and then open it up. And now it's $500 for everybody else. And maybe that price point goes up and up and up. And again, those are random numbers, but you get the idea. People vote with their wallet.
And you mentioned discipline in there. We've spoken a little bit about focus and productivity. And, you know, to really put together a good plan of action, can you share just some key elements to a good plan of action?
So a plan of action, number one, it has a actual goal that is at the end of that rainbow, so to speak. So you know when you set that plan of action, what is going to be that goal that's going to be accomplished at the end of that. And then you need to actually have micro goals along the way so that you know that you're on pace. So that, you know, if you're giving yourself 6 hours to complete this plan of action, you know, you're going to have 6 checkpoints along the way to make sure that it's not like the, you know, 5th hour and you're like, wow, I haven't done nearly as much as I wanted to create. And that's so, so important. So having that clear goal, end goal in the end of mind, and then breaking it down into micro goals along the way, keeping you in line, and then making sure that you're really clear of those steps you're going to take in those, you know, again, in this example I'm using, if you're giving yourself 6 hours, in those 1 hour increments to sprint towards each one of those micro goals. So for me, I would spend 42 minutes of every one of those hours accomplishing that micro goal. And then I would take those 18 minutes to refresh, to relax, to do this, to do that, to, you know, whatever I might want to do. And then I'm back at it for hour 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And then by hour 6, you've accomplished that goal.
Just know that if you invest in yourself like Razor Ray did and just suck it up and pay the stupid shipping and handling,
it's worth a while.
I mean, Razor Ray, can you even put a price tag on the value that the Freedom Journal brought you?
Nope, because the amount of doors and opportunities that have opened from this podcast, which is, you know, for me, only 8 weeks old live, but already
and
look, got 40.
And you and me, we're having a one-on-one conversation right now.
Yep, absolutely. Whoa. I would not have been able to make this opportunity happen if I didn't have the podcast. And, you know, I've already got 40 to 50 shows in the bank, and it's just fantastically going gangbusters that, it's just fantastic. And it's all because of that book. Like, page one is, you will have a successful podcast in 90 days, you know? So, and here we are. So thanks very much for hanging out with the Razor community, JLD. Until next time, stay sharp. Woo.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.